Yeah, I felt like I was a victim right there.
You were.
I was victimized. Andy asking a tight end about the value of tight ends.
Nothing wrong with that. Like it.
Hell becomes reality.
You know, Jeff, my friend, you know, you can get the latest from Browns training camp right now on our YouTube channel. Daryl Ryder recaps each and every practice and features the best highlights from coaches and players during media availability as well as on the field action. Subscribe to 92.3 The Fan, the 92.3 The Fan channel. Now on YouTube, get all of the latest from Daryl Ryder on the Browns throughout the football season.
So Gary basically said ownership forced Johnny Manziel down everybody's throat.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I tried. I didn't want him to.
We'll cut through it. That's what he said.
Yeah. Right? I didn't want to.
And Kyle Shanahan left because of it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. He gave us the straight up answer.
Well, he gave us the good version. We gave you the cliff notes.
Yeah.
Ownership shoved Johnny Manziel down the coaching staff's throat. There you go.
Well, he could have been front office, too.
Could have been.
Yeah, so it's either ownership or front office. It was not the... He made it very clear it was not the coaching staff.
Someone who sits in a suite.
All right, we'll Fair give enough. You that one.
Yeah,
we'll good. Give you that one. He also thought that had Johnny been forced to sit for a year, it might have been different. I thought that was interesting. But he said because Johnny was thrown out on the field and, hey, I'm starting, I guess everything's okay. I guess this is all right.
That's the second time in 2 days. Like, I heard the whole Joe Thomas story about how he was calling the line plays. And then, you know, to hear Gary say he was also helping out calling plays. Well, I mean, imagine going into that huddle.
Well,
that's a comedy show.
So not to, we all know that this went south in a hurry. So I'm not trying to like back anything up when I say this. That's not totally uncommon. Like Jason Kelce was notorious for doing offensive line sets while Jalen Hurts was playing quarterback.
The line guys kind of control the line,
right?
Yeah.
Some you'll hear that quite often.
But the quarterback line better know
coverages.
Yes and no. I agree with you that, but he made it pretty clear that Johnny didn't know the plays, and Johnny said that since then he didn't know the plays, didn't look at the playbook.
Is that frowned upon?
That's right. Not said, good to be an NFL quarterback.
I am not saying these things to justify Johnny Manziel or the way things went about it.
It's
just one of those that's, this is a common occurrence. Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's fair then. We'll leave it at that. How's that sound? I don't feel like going back down that road. Do you?
Nope. I also thought it was interesting that Gary said the quarterback competition kind of brings the other guys together. Kind of sharpens them all up. You know, they bond together, make sure they know their stuff so that they can help the quarterback a little bit. Well, if that's the case, by golly, the other position groups are getting tight right now in Berea.
Oh, man. Are you kidding? They are doing Mensa meetings in all the rooms.
You know, Gary immediately says Joe Flacco and starting all year. And you keep the rookies because you drafted them. You know, maybe Kenny Pickett is the odd guy out here. You know, In that scenario, he is. I'm hard pressed to think, depending on what your ultimate goal is for this season, there's my caveat, that you would go into the season with Joe Flacco, 40-year-old Joe Flacco. The key here is 40-year-old anybody as your starting quarterback and two rookies who were third and fifth round picks as your backups. That doesn't sound like the recipe for success. Not that there is one with this team, you know, playoff type team. I don't know if there is one for that. But a 40-year-old quarterback and two rookies who are not a first or even second round pick doesn't sound like a recipe for success.
I agree with that.
That makes me think Pickett's got a role.
I'm hesitant to do this, but I'm going to do this anyways. One of the main topics on the morning show this morning was kind of the road you're walking down right now. What is the goal of the season? Is the goal to see what you have, or is the goal to win?
Dana, what's the goal for the season, please?
To find out if the quarterback on the Browns for 2026 is on the roster or in the draft.
Does winning mean anything?
Very little, because you're probably not going to make the playoffs.
Does winning mean anything, Dan?
Nope.
I say you win till you don't, and maybe that's what it means for Flacco, right? So if Flacco's a quarterback, you put him out there and he's winning, stick with it. Let's see what happens. if they start going sideways, then I think it turns a few weeks into the season, probably six, right after the Steelers game in Pittsburgh, which is where's the bye? I forgot. It's in the middle, isn't it? So
it's in the middle of the season.
Yeah, and it might even be before the bye, where you make that hard decision. You're like, okay, we're this and that, and you know what? Let's see what we got. Let's do this. I'm not ready to and maybe that's my overall thought on this, because I can't stand the thought of, you know, going out there, throwing the rookies out week one and knowing that you're playing to lose. Like that, I can't swallow that. Start the season. We all know it's tough. First six games are going to be tough. Put Flacco out there. Put Pickett out there. If you know, either way, play to win. Play to win, you know, in the beginning of the season, because your head coach's job is on the line. You're coming off a three-win year. I don't care what they say. Oh, he's in. He's solid. He's rock solid. Really? Are you really rock solid? What if there's another coach out there that's like suddenly looking for a job and you feel like you can get him and you might like him better than Kevin Stefanski? I'm not saying that that's the way it is, but we all know that's the way it is in the NFL. Play to win in the beginning and then see what happens. I think that's a fair way to look at it.
I think it is too. With Dan's thought in mind, and I think Dan's thought is right, discover if your quarterback of the future, or at least your quarterback of the next year or three, is on the team right now, and if he's not, going the next year. Interesting, Jimmy Haslam, when Jimmy and Dee Haslam spoke to the media, and he was asked about Arch Manning, the Texas quarterback.
Yeah.
Jimmy said, if you'll recall, yeah, I believe he basically said, don't think he's coming out in 2026.
Yeah.
He said, and I thought, oh.
I've heard that before.
I wonder if, well, I've heard that before too, but I've never heard it from the owner of the team. And I thought that's a bold statement for the owner to make, because maybe he knows something. In Texas Monthly Magazine.
Oh, we all read that.
You should. Oh, man. It's a fine publication.
Except for the staple in the middle. That bothers me sometimes. But
they don't do staples anymore.
Texas Monthly does, because they do everything bigger and better in Texas.
Well, then that means you don't need a staple.
Now, they don't like the heat glue stuff. Doesn't work right.
They did a great big feature on Arch Manning, the Texas Longhorns quarterback. And, of course, he's everybody's number one thought about quarterbacks in college football in 2026. But they interviewed a bunch of people about him, including his grandfather, Archie Manning. Hmm. And, you know, the namesake of Rick Manning.
That's not true, but okay, keep going.
And he said that Archie said he hasn't discussed it with Arch, but he says he knows his grandson well enough to know what he will do. Quote, Arch isn't going to do that. He'll be at Texas when asked about the 2026 draft. Arch isn't going to do that. He'll be at Texas. So cross him off the list.
Let's see. His valuation is at $6.6 million right now.
Yep.
$6.6 million as a college quarterback. So he's on a 2-year, at least $12 million deal.
I don't know if that's the...
if that's what he wants to be on.
I don't know if that's the big thing here. Do you?
Be for me.
Well, but that's you. You'll do anything for a buck.
So will you, Jeff.
Exactly right.
Yes.
I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Okay, good. We're just glad you...
But, you know, he's a Manning. Cooper actually is his father, and Cooper's done well in business. I'm guessing Coop has a little cash.
Coop wasn't a bad football player.
He just had spinal stenosis. Yeah. He was forced to retire because he could have ended up paralyzed.
Yeah, that's a wise move. I'm going to go...
Here's another part of
paralyzed
this.
Paralyzed or a lot of...
When Arch was looking for a college... His final three, and remember, Eli and Grandpa went to Ole Miss, and Uncle Peyton went to Tennessee.
It was close at Ohio State. I don't know if you remember those days.
Well, his final three were Alabama, Georgia, and Texas. And he, according to the same Texas Monthly story, he was given advice from his father, Cooper. And, you know, it's... interesting, because you don't think of Cooper as the football guy in that family, even though he really was.
Cooper's been on our show before.
He got hurt, yeah.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah, Cooper was great. Mm-hmm. And Cooper said this, let's find a school that you want to go to if something happens and you don't play football. Because that's what happened to Cooper.
Right.
And, you know, he said...
Shouldn't that be true of every athlete?
Well, it should, but you know it isn't. You know it isn't. He said, go to a place where you'll be happy, to a place where even if you didn't play a down, you'd still enjoy your college experience, have a little bit of balance, have friends who aren't just on the team, friends who are in frats and clubs and everything else. And he did, and that's why he picked Texas.
Good for him and good for those fraternities that made sure he had a good time while he was down there.
Sure he did.
Sure they had fun.
And his younger brother actually goes to Texas too now.
Well, so now you got the whole family there.
His younger brother's name is Hyde. H-E-I-D.
Hyde Manning?
Hyde Manning.
It's kind of a rodeo name, isn't it?
I don't know. Bob's in Akron. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Gentlemen, I'm looking to you to help me rationally. I heard earlier about how the Browns were the 32nd team in the league.
According to
power rankings from Eric Edholm.
Yeah, okay. So, now, that means, in my mind anyway, my thoughts are that either means that they think the Browns have got the worst personnel of any team in the league, or that they have close to the worst coaching in the league. So is the problem the talent that Andrew Berry has been able to put on the table? Because if I was Stefanski and I kept getting bum players, I'd be going to the owner saying, hey, we need to have a new GM. Or if I was Andrew Berry and I thought I was providing good material, then I'd be saying, hey, owner, we need to have a new coach. So, how do we apportion the blame?
That's a good question, isn't it?
Well, when you're all a part of the thought partner group, as they are.
Paul's an incredible thought partner.
Then they all think along the same lines, I guess. I don't think Kevin's a bad coach.
The coach can't acquire the talent.
And I think the talent got stifled because we traded away three first-round picks, and the quarterback they got in turn for that isn't on the field. So if you ask me, that's talent-related.
Oh. Though first-round picks are huge, no question about it, there's a lack of talent on this roster that shouldn't be for the sixth year of a regime, my estimation. It's Baskin and Phelps here on the Fan.